Welcome everybody to another exciting 2021 episode of HomeKit Insider, the best Apple Insider podcast out there. You've got me, Andrew, as well as my co-host, Stephen Robles, who is Creed Bratton Stanton on The Office. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm good. I might lose some cred with some listeners, but I have not seen much of The Office.
Well, you're fired from this show.
Sorry. I know. That disqualifies me from so much stuff. But anyway, that's just how it rolls. But now you can't even get it on Netflix. You gotta go to Peacock.
Yeah, but okay. Side tangent, it's pretty awesome that not only are the episodes like still somewhere to stream, but starting with season three, they have those like extra length episodes. So they have like all the deleted scenes and all this other stuff included in them so that I can like rewatch them and have like additional stuff that I haven't seen the other 30 times that I've watched them. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Very cool.
I mean, I already liked a bunch of NBC shows like Community and Parks and Rec and stuff like that. So sure. I was already all in. So no, I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. There you go.
So that covers our news for the week, I guess.
Yep. That's it. No. So it's 2021 and it is the first all digital CES. And, you know, this is the time when you see a lot of home type things, a lot of gadgets and things like that. But I don't know. Andrew, tell us what is happening this year at CES 21.
Okay, guys. CES 2021 is here. It kind of kicks off today as you guys are listening to this on Monday the 11th. So literally a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about right now in the news, the embargoes have just kind of broken on. So this is like hot and fresh news, guys. Mm. The problem is, this is very sad, we have very little HomeKit news right now to talk about. Now, there's still likely going to be more HomeKit news in the week. And heck, by the time that you guys listen to this, there may be even more HomeKit news that we didn't even get a chance to record when we recorded this podcast. Mm. So as we're going through this, make sure you check out the show notes in case, because I can add additional things into the show notes. There'll be a roundup post of like HomeKit at CES. So check that out to see if anything else was added post Steve and I recording this. The problem is with CES 2021, as Steven said, it is all digital, which means we are no longer all getting together in Vegas, and I can no longer film all this gear and gadget stuff that we would normally do. And based on my talks so far with kind of like people who usually have HomeKit news at CES, there isn't much. And it's not that it isn't even ready. It seems that companies, because we're not all getting together out in Vegas, there's no point to be forced to release their information, if that makes sense. Like, why bother sending out a press release on your new HomeKit device with 1,000,000,000 other pieces of PR, you know, day one of CES, when they might as well wait until after the show, and they're going to get a lot more room, a lot more attention, just because it's after CES and not everything is running together. So we're going to go through this news here, and you guys are going to notice, oh, that company didn't release anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that these companies won't actually, you know, be bare, but maybe we'll see stuff in the coming weeks. So bear with us. There's definitely going to be HomeKit news in 2021, but it just seems that people are pulling back from CES 2021 this year. Maybe partially because of the pandemic in 2020 and production being delayed on stuff that was slated to launch at CES, and partially just because I'm sure they want to get some of their attention. Like, they're not there. There's no one's taking pictures of the stuff, so might as well wait until they can get the headlines all to themselves. So with that out of the way, all that giant disclaimer of our maybe less than exciting HomeKit news this year, we do have things to talk about. Starting off with, I guess, our friends at Belkin. Belkin has, we still don't have their plugs or their the stage controller or the, I think it was like the Insight Switch or something, but the smart plug that would monitor your energy and use that to trigger scenes. We still don't have release dates for those yet, but their itty bitty smart plug, which is extremely popular, they really did do a lot to get that to be completely self-sustaining, not relying on the Wemo app at all. And they got into Apple stores and now they are launching globally in Apple stores. So that's a big get for Belkin at least. And if you're outside the US, you should be able to get your hands on one of those Belkin Wemo smart plugs if you didn't already. So those are launching in Apple stores worldwide. We also have Level. We really like that invisible Level Lock and their Level Lock Touch. They might have a different name, but the touch-sensitive version of the Level Lock, that's actually the hardware that goes on the outside of your door. There's like RFID tags to get in. It's super cool. That guy is launching with a new matte black finish. That's pretty cool. If the silver wasn't your thing, honestly, I know it's a big hang-up for people who are spending a good chunk of money on door hardware. You don't want a silver piece of hardware if everything else is black, especially if your doorknob is black or something. It's just weird. I think that a lot of people have been waiting for another color option. So the Level Lock Touch is launching with a matte black colorway.
Nice.
Ecobee camera, the Ecobee Smart Camera, I think is its official name. It's a pretty amazing camera. And they just recently, if you remember, added HomeKit Secure Video. They have a few other updates to it too, including if you're a subscriber to their Haven Smart program, it'll monitor your home for smoke detectors going off, and it can detect that and send you an alert that that is going off outside your house, which is very cool. They are dropping their price from $179 to $129. That's a pretty big jump for that camera, like $50 or so there. I mean, it's an amazing camera, and it has all the Ecobee features, the Haven features to go along with it, and HomeKit Secure Video. So for $130, that is a very, very enticing camera for a lot of people out there. So pretty exciting that the Ecobee price is dropping. The Flick buttons, F-L-I-C, those guys had recently added HomeKit support, so you can control your HomeKit scenes. They have a little bridge, and they are adding Alexa support in. So if you were kind of a multi-smart home platform home, and you've got some Amazon Assistant devices there, some Amazon Assistant speakers in your home, Flick buttons will be adding support for Amazon's Assistant in Q1 of 2021. So that'll be really nice, be able to run your routines, everything like that, get your morning news, whatever, all with the press of a button. So Alexa coming to those guys. We have, I can't even say what this is. I was told, literally in my show notes, Steven can vouch for this, I wrote Vocalink Mystery, but Mystery is in italics, and there's like eight Y's at the end.
Yes, yes.
Mystery. I'm supposed to talk about this coyly, because I don't think they have firm deadlines for anything yet, but Vocalink is going to have a cool year, guys. There's going to be some cool things coming up the first part of the year that I'm really excited about, things that don't get a lot of HomeKit attention.
Oh.
Vocalink is going to be coming through for us again. We were very happy with, you know, previous stuff they had, so.
Is it a HomeKit back massager?
No, it's not.
Okay, so we can at least say it's definitely not that.
It's okay. Definitely not a HomeKit back massager. So if that helps you guys narrow it down anymore, there you go.
A HomeKit literal door.
HomeKit door, an entire door. And yeah, the lock is just glued into place.
I mean, honestly, there's times when I'm taking in groceries, I wouldn't mind a door opening itself. That's a free idea for some HomeKit company.
Isn't that called children?
Sometimes they help, but they're unreliable. I dare say, for all the issues that HomeKit may have, it is more reliable than my children.
That's good, I guess.
I'll say that.
Then we have some exciting news from one of my favorite smart home companies that we don't talk about too much on the show, which is Lutron. Lutron is announcing a new outdoor smart plug, the Caseta outdoor smart plug. This guy is very streamlined, has a plug coming out of both ends, like a cord coming out of both ends, which is really unique. We usually kind of see a similar design across all the products in this space. So this is a little bit unique from the other ones. Carries an IP65 rating for some really robust waterproofing. It's supposed to be UV resistant and everything else out there. So it should hold up to pretty much any weather that is thrown. This will be releasing in March, I believe, and coming in at around $80. Now this will support Apple HomeKit, which is, of course, what we all love to hear on this show, but it also has this really cool indoor switch, which I love. So you can control it via HomeKit and automations, a motion sensor outdoors, anything like that. But there's also an on and off switch that you can get that will turn it off manually as well. So if you got it inside, you can turn this on and off to turn on and off your Christmas lights or your just string lights outside, your spotlights, anything like that. Of course, set a schedule and all that, but I just love the physical switch to go along with. So new product coming from Lutron. Last year at CES, we saw this air purifier that looked very sleek, very, very cool, that I was absolutely interested in, which is called the One Life air purifier. And I guess they took a lot of the feedback that they had heard last year and they rolled all of that into a new product called the One Life X. This is a new air purifier replacing the one that we saw last year, which is a little bit of a bummer because I don't love the aesthetics of this new one. I really have a disdain for bamboo looking products because they feel a little bit cheap and that light color doesn't really match anything in the home. But this is a newer product, a little bit smaller, a little bit more compact. It's vertical, can rotate around, but this will be launching, I believe, first on Indiegogo in April and then launching in the summer. Now, I'm not sure about HomeKit on this front. I'm still trying to get clarification, and by the time this airs, you guys probably already get the clarification you need. But recording this, all I know is that it supports Siri. So you can use Siri to turn this on and off. So I'm assuming that means Siri shortcuts. And if that is the case, it still kind of has a limited HomeKit functionality then, because you can tie it into the shortcuts app and go forth that way. But it would mean not full HomeKit support. So still digging into this as a time of recording, it at least works with Siri, but may or may not support HomeKit. Well, that pretty much rounds it up. I mean, that's really the stuff that we see. The one big one that I was kind of surprised about, we didn't really hear anything from them, which is Hue. I said no CES this year for them, but I know we talked about in like previous episode that we had saw some stuff leaking from them without actually getting anything out of the company. Hopefully Hue will be one of the ones that'll be releasing something for us sooner rather than later. But they were one of the ones I always look forward to at CES, and we just didn't hear anything. So okay. I guess we will all stay tuned for much more HomeKit news. And I guarantee there's gonna be more, there's a lot of smaller companies that we don't even find until we start kind of going through the booths and talking to people. So there's gonna be more to this list. So don't be disheartened that this is kind of minor so far. There's going to be more stuff coming. Check the show notes. Check our roundup. Likely doing a video on CES HomeKit stuff 2021. So stay tuned. But that is what we've got so far from CES.
All right. And those virtual booths, right?
Yeah, virtual booths, which means a whole bunch of stupid Zoom meetings.
Oh, so that's how they're doing it. Okay. Well, I want to do some massive follow-up on HomePod, shortcuts, music, podcast, all that. So on last week's episode, I made a statement about how you can't group HomePods for playback. So as you know, you can make a stereo pair of HomePods and they act as a single device and you can AirPlay to that. You can do it in shortcuts. Last week, I was talking about, a listener had a question about grouping HomePods in different rooms that are not a stereo pair. So for instance, if you have a HomePod in the living room and one in the kitchen, they're not a stereo pair, but you want to play something on both of them in one tap, maybe using a shortcut. And last week's episode, I said that that's not possible with shortcuts. So we had a lot of listeners writing in and kind of suggesting things and some shortcuts. And so I want to clarify a couple things. So number one, if your goal is to play music, maybe through Apple Music, and you have a specific playlist or album, there is a way to do this in shortcuts that is fairly simple, but it's limited. So if you create a shortcut, it doesn't have to be a personal automation. You can just do a regular shortcut, and you, instead of using the set playback destination or set music commands, you don't use any of those. You just use the home control shortcut step in your shortcut. You can choose multiple HomePods in this one step.
Now, Steven, is that HomePods or is that any AirPlay 2 sources? Just to kind of be...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
good
just point. To clear that up for sure.
When you're choosing that home control, it can choose any AirPlay 2 device. I think I see my home theater system there and my HomePods. So it doesn't have to be just a HomePod. You can choose multiple, like if you have a Sonos or you have some other AirPlay device, you can choose that in the home control setup. I even had my LG TV as one of the options. So you can choose multiple outputs, just has to be AirPlay 2. But when you do that in the home control, you can group them together, and then you have a few options of what to do next. You can resume playing whatever audio, you can pause audio on all those devices, or you can start audio. But here is where the shortcut just gives you the options to choose things in Apple Music. You can choose a playlist, you can choose an album, you can choose an artist. And so if you have just a playlist that you're managing and you want to be able to trigger that playlist on multiple AirPlay 2 devices simultaneously, you can do that with an Apple Music playlist. This is just Apple Music, not Spotify, Pandora, or anything else. It just integrates with Apple Music. Then you can also use a home control step to pause that. So if you want to group multiple HomePods for the purpose of playing music from Apple Music from a specific playlist or album or artist, you can do that using the home control command in Shortcuts. So that is a yes-ish to grouping HomePods. The issue is I was doing most of my testing with podcasts, and that's actually just a majority of what I listen to. I don't listen to music as much. I listen to more podcasts. So when it comes to trying to play podcasts on multiple HomePods in a single tap, this becomes more complicated. You can't use the home control option for choosing a podcast. You can't get to Apple Podcasts that way. But the option in that home control is you can resume playing what was on a HomePod previously. So after a lot of experimentation, we had one listener suggest using the handoff audio to multiple HomePods once you start playing. So I tried that. My shortcut is basically start playing a podcast, set the playback destination to HomePod 1, we'll just call it. None of these HomePods are stereo pairs or anything like that. I just say set to HomePod 1. Then the listener suggested use the handoff audio to a second HomePod. Now, when I do that, in all the testing that I did, and I tested with Apple Podcasts, with Pocket Casts, it will stop playing on HomePod 1 and start playing on HomePod 2 as the handoff. Now, the listener was saying that if you use the handoff commands, that it'll keep playing on all podcasts. That was not my experience in using the handoff audio command. In all the situations I did that, it would stop playing on one and start playing on the second one. But what I did was to experiment, and this was intermittent. I couldn't get it to do this all the time. With podcasts specifically, what I did was start playing podcast, set playback destination to HomePod 1. Then I would put a wait command for like 3 to 4 seconds. I would do handoff audio to HomePod 2. I would do another wait command for like 3 or 4 seconds because it takes a second for the AirPlay to hand off. And then I would use a home control to pause both HomePod 1 and HomePod 2. Not a stereo pair, just that group of home things. I did another wait command, like 3 or 4 seconds, and then finally another home control command for both those HomePods, HomePod 1 and HomePod 2, and instead of playing audio, I set the command to resume audio. So because the shortcut had already started a podcast, sent it to HomePod 1, handed it off to HomePod 2, then both of them paused, then the resume playing home control command, it started the podcast on both HomePods, and it was in sync. Now, it is not a great experience because the shortcut takes like a minute, basically, to run, and I only got it to work intermittently. I got it to work a few times where the podcast started playing on multiple HomePods that weren't stereo pairs, and it was a group, and it worked, and then other times it didn't. Sometimes it would revert back to whatever music was playing on one HomePod rather than the podcast I had chosen. So by the end, I would get the podcast playing on one HomePod and music playing on the other. So I'm not saying that this is like a rock solid way to do it, but it worked sometimes. But I stand by the fact that there is not really a built-in way to say, throw whatever I'm playing on my phone to multiple HomePods simultaneously. There's not like a shortcut. You can set playback destination, but that specific step in a shortcut called set playback destination, you can only choose one device. And in my experience, I did multiple tests, the handoff command will move audio from one HomePod to another or whatever AirPlay 2 device. But every time I did that command, it would pause it or stop it playing on the first or initial device. So that using that handoff command 3 or 4 times, it never played on multiple speakers simultaneously. It would just keep moving the sound. And just to specify, I'm running all the public releases, not any betas. So I'm on 14.3 on all my devices, iPhone, HomePods, all that. So with all that testing, I'll reiterate again, if your goal is to play an Apple Music playlist artist, album, or even song, you can use create a shortcut using the home control command. Maybe we could put screenshots in show notes and I could build a shortcut and we could put it there. But using a home control command, you can choose multiple AirPlay 2 devices and start the music playing simultaneously. But if you're looking to listen to a podcast on multiple HomePods or resume a podcast and it plays simultaneously at all, I could not get that to work consistently. And there's not a shortcut where you can be playing something on your iPhone and press one button and it sends to multiple AirPlay 2 devices as like a group. Like you can't say like first floor, all AirPlay 2 devices, send my audio to all of that. So again, I know we have multiple listeners saying, you know, I got it to work with this and that. And I tried to mimic those shortcuts exactly. The only difference was I was trying it with the Apple Podcasts app in shortcuts rather than Overcast for that one example. I don't think that would make a difference in as far as like the handoff and set playback destination commands. But that was my testing, and I tried it a bunch. And again, it was intermittent at best with the method that I said, talking about handing it off, pausing all, and then resuming all. But ish. I mean, that's kind of my answer is like it works ish. But did you try any of these, or did you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I have no good thoughts on this. It's honestly been, this has been one of the most difficult questions I feel like that we've ever got asked. And it's weird because it seems like it should be very straightforward. And it's not. And honestly, one, I've scared the heck out of myself because I was working on setting different, trying to like do this myself, right? And I'm running different commands and stuff like that. And I was trying to run on different triggers. And at one point I was like, oh, I'll just use something I already had in here. So I took my one of my existing shortcuts that I had and was just adding to it. And I was adding to the when my alarm is stopped shortcut, which like turns on my lights. And I'm like, oh yeah, I wonder if I could just use this to, you know, turn on a song or something like that, a morning playlist or podcast or whatever. And I just picked like a rando like rock song, rock playlist, like an Apple Music daily rock playlist or whatever. And I forgot to turn it off. It's like one morning I like, the next day I turn off my alarm, forgot that the shortcut was still set. And all of a sudden just like rock music starts blasting from my bedside speaker, and it was like very surprising. But there's still just no good way. Like we've gotten so many tweets, so many Twitter messages, so many emails, we've looked at so many threads on Reddit and all these other places, people who say they've gotten this to work and gotten it to work reliably, and I am mimicking things down to a T, and it is just not working exactly as it should, at least not reliably. It's weird.
Yeah, the one listener was like saying leave the handoff playback command. They were saying leave the source blank, like just handoff playback to like HomePod 1 and leave the source blank in the shortcut step. Whenever I did that, it just didn't do anything. Like nothing was moving because there was not a source to move from. So I'm not sure how that worked for somebody. Two last thoughts on this. One, this could be solved easily if Apple allowed in the AirPlay command in shortcuts for set playback destination, if they just allowed you to select multiple AirPlay 2 devices in that command, this would be a super easy process, like one-step shortcut. Set playback to multiple HomePods or multiple AirPlay 2 devices. They could be grouped together, not a stereo pair, and it would be done. So ideally that, and for the home control option that I'm talking about, I'm triple checking because I want to make sure I'm getting this right. But if you can use the home control command in shortcuts to select multiple AirPlay 2 devices, but the only options you get are adjust volume. So you can adjust volume on multiple AirPlay 2 devices in a shortcut, resume audio, which was the kind of command I was talking about before, pause audio. So you can pause audio on all those devices. And the play audio command, all it gives you is a choose audio option, and it's the Apple Music, like it's not even the Apple Music app. It just gives you like a listen now, browse, radio, and library to choose from. But it's like the Apple Music choices. This could also be solved is in this home control step, if you could play audio, but when it goes to choose audio, you could choose either a podcast app like Pocket Casts or even Apple Podcasts, or just play audio last played on iPhone, like some kind of command like that. So either if Apple would allow multiple devices to be checked in the set playback destination command or choose different audio sources in that home control command, either way, like you'd be able to play to multiple HomePods or AirPlay 2 devices in a shortcut. But again, and I also went to like the automation and like setting up a personal automation, and you don't really get different options. Like they're just different triggers for setting off a shortcut, but I did not see any additional way to play to multiple HomePods or AirPlay 2 devices in a step. So that is a long follow-up to say, I still feel it is accurate to say you can't easily group HomePods as a set playback destination to just play anything on your phone. If you want to play music, you can use the Home Control app, play a playlist, has to be Apple Music. But if you want to do anything with podcasts or try to just resume or send what you're playing on your iPhone to multiple HomePods at the same time, the easiest way and the way you're supposed to do it now, according to Apple, is go to that AirPlay symbol in Control Center and just check multiple devices there. But that was, did all the testing. You know, thank you to all the listeners who sent that stuff in. I'm not sure how it works for some of you, but I could not get it to work consistently. That is all. Well, you have the Netatmo video doorbell sitting there at your house.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about this. So what's funny enough, if you guys Google like this, I mean, maybe just for me because I work here, but when you like Google like the Netatmo video doorbell, one of the first things that comes up is my hands-on with it almost exactly a year ago from today. Like it was on January 9th that I had filmed and done an initial hands-on with this guy at CES 2019 or 2020, I guess. And now I finally have my hands on this little guy. So I've had it for about a week now, but I haven't gotten it installed because I've still been doing more testing with the Logitech Circle View doorbell. And I'm still very excited for this. It's a tad larger. So, I mean, we'll just go through kind of high level here. This is basically what I did when I looked at this a year ago because I don't have it installed yet. And it still doesn't have the HomeKit Secure video yet. But we will have, you know, more coverage of that when it finally launches. But a few things that I really like out of the gate. The thing feels very nice in your hand. It does have a plastic body, but the front of this is really, really nice. The bottom has a nice aluminum button. Very easy to see the doorbell icon there, so they know where to press. It is like a paddle button. So unlike on the Logitech where almost like that whole plate can be kind of pushed down, this you actually have to do press a little bit more towards the bottom. If you press up too high, it won't work. But of course, the button is right there at the bottom. So people should find that pretty easily to go ahead and press the doorbell button. The center of it is your speaker grill, just a plastic, a dark plastic over top of that. And then the top is where the camera is. 1080p video has a 140 degree field of view, I believe. And what's different is this has a 16:9 aspect ratio, but it's vertical. And the Logitech has a 3:4 vertical aspect ratio. And the Logitech also has a 160 degree field of view. Hoping I'm not flopping those around, but I'm pretty sure it's 140 and the Logitech is 160, which means that the Logitech should capture a little bit more in its frame than this does, but the distortion can be pretty crazy on that Logitech one. The thing that makes me concerned before even putting this on my door, just looking at the lens here at the top, is making sure I have enough left and right view. Like it really helps me at your doorbell to see up and down. I get it. It makes sense. If it's your phone screen easier, you can see more easily, like if there's a package sitting in front of your door. But if you do need that left and right field of view, it can be a problem. Like, especially for me, we've got like a side driveway and I would really love to be able to see like my wife's car on that side of the driveway, see when she pulls in or see if someone's like going up to her car. Something like that would be really nice to have on a doorbell. And it's a little annoying when these guys focus so much on the vertical and they leave out the horizontal. So that'll be interesting to test with my home to see how that field of view works. The top of it also has a very thick piece of glass in front of the lens, which is just, it looks really nice. Like it actually is like a solid piece of glass there, very clear, and it feels very premium. Like it doesn't feel like a cheap product by any means. Otherwise, good modern design here. On the back of it, it connects very securely. There's a screw that holds it into place, but there's also a few different things you can do for storage with this. So there are many ways. So Netatmo, there's no subscription here. Unlike Ring or Arlo, anything like that, there's no additional storage fee that you guys got to pay. You guys get the doorbell and boom, you're up and running and you get all of its smart features and everything out of the box, which is why it has a slightly higher initial MSRP compared to something like the other ones where a lot of the time they do make up additional cost by charging you a monthly subscription. So that is not the case here with Netatmo. But for your video storage, you have a physical media, you have a micro SD card in the back of the doorbell itself. So that's one. So you got storage there. Your other option is you can use your own Dropbox account or your own FTP server. So if you've got an FTP server set up, if you've got like a Synology drive, you can likely set it up to configure to drop your storage there. So that'll give you another place where you can back up your storage. So you've got like cloud options, local options in your house, local options in the back of the camera, a lot of stuff going on. And of course, when you have HomeKit Secure Video, that's another option for you as well, using iCloud for that storage. So a lot of places that you have to store your video where you can feel safe about it. Nice. You're not necessarily putting on anyone else's servers, and you can kind of rest assured that should you need it, you can have access to that footage. So that's really nice to see as well. Otherwise, we're going to have to mostly wait. I've been using the Netatmo app a lot when I looked at their other cameras, like with their smart indoor camera. It was much better than Apple at identifying people. Like, its facial recognition and stuff was far above Apple's. So I'm really excited to see how well their facial and object recognition works on a doorbell when it was already so good inside of the house. Nice. So this is going to be a really fun one for me to test. I'm really excited already just by how it looks and the spec sheet and everything. So stay tuned. I don't know if I'll be able to get it installed by next week and have ample time to test, because I really hate to pull down my Logitech right away. But
right, you just got it up.
Yeah, I know. I just got it up. Everything's working perfectly. I'm going to take it down. Ah. But
okay,
it is HomeKit at least. So you still get the other HomeKit aspects of this, including being able to pull it up with Siri and all of those things. So there's still HomeKit here, even if it isn't a secure video yet. But
cool.
We'll definitely be trying this out and getting you guys more information as soon as we start testing.
Well, round up the show, we have a listener question. This is from Aaron on Twitter, and he's buying a new house, and he's wondering what kind of security system to get. We've talked about Abode IOTA in the past, but he was asking about SimpliSafe, maybe with Homebridge integration, or the Abode IOTA. He's leaning towards SimpliSafe. I don't know if you have experience with either of these, if you can help Aaron out.
Okay, so for this guy here, I don't have... Steven knows that I've been using the Abode IOTA for quite a while, and I have not used SimpliSafe, mainly because I don't like to rely on Homebridge if I can avoid it. And Abode IOTA I already had, so it was a default solution for some of that security system stuff. I also have the Akara, but I think the Abode is a little bit nicer than the Akara is. Here's the thing with the Abode. Originally, I didn't even publish my review of the Abode IOTA because the app was god-awful. It was terrible. I had setup issues and a whole bunch of other stuff. The hardware looked amazing, but the app was just terrible. I hated it. Just piss poor. And I let the team know, and they kind of clued me in. They were coming out with a big new app update. And second half of last year, I want to say, they actually released that update to their app with just a complete overhaul. So Aaron, when you asked this question, I went to try to look at the App Store. It's been a while since I had done this, but I was trying to discern, because yes, the Abode app does have a bad rating in the App Store. It's like 2 out of 5 stars. And what I was trying to figure out is if that is cumulative over all previous versions of the app, or if that is just the most recent version. Because I will say, like, the app reviews were terrible, not just from me, but from other people on that earlier version of the app. Like, it was just getting beaten for good reason in the App Store. But this most recent version, I've had nowhere near the number of issues. It's been very nice, very smooth, no real hiccups at all in connecting, controlling, managing a device. I'll still say again, I don't use the IOTA app a ton, because the Abode app a ton, because I do rely on HomeKit for a lot of things. But I do jump in there every once in a while, and I don't have the issues I had before. So if you're leaning just on the app reviews, I wouldn't give it as much credit as you seem to. I would look at the other features and kind of what you're leaning towards. I've heard a lot of good things about SimpliSafe, and if you're happy and willing to do the Homebridge stuff, then by all means, that is a great option to go down. I've said it 30 times on the show. The thing I liked about the Abode IOTA was that set it apart for me was that short-term monitoring, the 2-day, 1-day, whatever, 3-day weekend monitoring service that you can enable to have somebody else professionally monitor your home for a reasonable fee. T- to me, that was the peace of mind I needed. It, like, when I'm around, okay, perfect. I want to be able to monitor it, see it on my phone, make the call and stuff like that. But if I'm out of town for CES in Vegas, not this year, but maybe next year, and I want to make sure I'm kind of having my house looked after, that was something that appealed to me. So it's really hard to say which one is better. I think they kind of have a little bit of a different markets to them. The Abode IOTA is such a nice kind of all-in-one. I like that there's a ton of options for like contact sensors, like 30 different contact sensors that they offer that you can hook up with it. So it's very kind of modular in that way. And I like the all-in-one thing. It's got a bunch of other stuff going on with that hub as well as the HomeKit stuff. So I've always liked the Abode. I just have more experience with it. I can't say that it's better than the SimpliSafe because I really simply haven't played with SimpliSafe enough. So I feel like I'm no help because the one thing that you were making your decision on, the App Store ratings, I've almost nullified and then given you zero help on deciding between the SimpliSafe or the Abode. So I'm sorry. I'm no good with this.
Well, this is going to be an issue that I'll be dealing with this year as well, going into a new house. So as I discover that, as I discover that world and what I go with, I'll certainly share here on the podcast. And so maybe by then we'll be able to help you, Aaron. And my only thing is, you know, Homebridge is great, but when it comes to security system or just devices that might be mission critical in your home, using something like Homebridge, you are introducing a level of a point of failure, I would say, because you're dealing with either a computer or a server that is running third-party software and plugins that might get deactivated in a, you know, software update for a device or something like that. So I would just be leery of that as well.
You know, you bring up a good point with that too. So not only do you have an additional point of failure, but the Abode IOTA, it actually has a battery in itself. So if you're disconnected from power, someone is breaking into your house and they've cut the power.
Oh, man.
Now your Abode IOTA is still running.
That was a good trailer voice.
It can still capture video. Thank you. The Abode IOTA is still going to capture, and you have an optional cellular backup. So if you're really looking for, like, I mean, you've got so many levels then to kind of protect yourself, because it's going to still record, still get that local recording or whatever when your power goes out, but then you can still access it remotely when your power is out via its integrated cellular option. So you've got a lot of, if you want to pay for them, they are there with the Abode versus SimpliSafe. So I'm not saying you have to do all those things, but it's like you've got options if you want them.
Okay, one last question that actually snuck in. This was an email that came to the website, but this person was saying they have 5 HomeKit Secure video cameras and wanting to know if they can add a HomeKit Secure video doorbell to the account. And the answer is no. Apple set that max at 5 devices, and hopefully they change it in the near future, right? I'm right there, right?
So, yeah, you're right there. You can only have 5 HomeKit Secure video devices on there. What you essentially have to do is disable HomeKit Secure video for one of the devices and add the doorbell on. I mean, it's not terrible depending on what you're looking at in your home. There's one that may not need to record if you got double angles or something. Sometimes it's not the case. Like I know with me, soon to be with Steven, we're hitting that 5 camera limit and we got to disable stuff, remove things to make it work. So I know I have most of my cameras, like my Arlo ones, they're all just HomeKit video, not HomeKit Secure video. So those are all relying on the Arlo service. And if I had swapped them for anything else, like I probably would have picked up an additional like Eve cam or something, but I didn't because I can't have any more HomeKit Secure video stuff. So they will just operate as normal HomeKit cameras, motion detectors, all of that kind of stuff will still function as it should. You're just not going to get the iCloud recording option mainly. That'll be your big difference. So it's a bummer. We've been complaining about it. We've been over here whining, opining away for months that Apple would ever increase that, and still holding out hope that there's someone over at Apple listening, and in iOS 15, they're going to make us happy.
That's right. Well, listeners, be sure to check out show notes for this episode this week. Again, Andrew's going to be putting links for maybe different devices that came out on CES or different announcements. And also I'll try to put some screenshots in the show notes and, you know, maybe the chapter art for the podcast in there. I'll show you some different things with the screenshots. But anyway, if you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating in Apple Podcasts. That'll help us be discovered by more HomeKit fans like yourself. And don't forget to check out the Apple Insider Daily podcast and the regular podcast on Fridays. Daily is every day. Get you the news headlines in just a few minutes. And don't forget to interact with Andrew and I on Twitter. Our Twitter handle's in the show notes, and use the hashtag HomeKitInsider, and we will answer your questions here on the air. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.